You going to go to sleep here? It's okay. It's always a joy to be able to bring the good news of Jesus to you. And I'm especially happy that I get to talk about baptism. Today is when we recognize the baptism of our Lord, okay? But it also provides the opportunity, because they're so related, for me to talk about our baptisms as well, okay? And I'm going to spend some time on the reason for the baptism of Jesus. A lot of people have that question. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? And we'll talk about that, because it's very important why he was baptized. But I want to start by talking about the importance of our baptism. And there are a lot of questions in regard to our baptism, especially in the United States, with our mixture of denominations and stuff. There's a lot of controversy around really who should be baptized. You know, some denominations don't believe that you should be baptized until you reach a certain age of accountability, okay? And so they don't baptize children or infants. You know, we baptize children of all ages. You know, you can be just born, you can be as old as Bruce, and we'll still baptize you, okay? We baptize all ages, okay? We do not discriminate on the basis of age, okay? But why is that? There's a reason for it, okay? We don't say, oh, we just like to, because it's cute and it makes good pictures, right? That's why we baptize babies. No. There's a reason in our theology, in the ancient historical Christian church, why they've always baptized infants, okay? And that's because of our understanding of how we are saved. We are not saved by any decision that we make, okay? It's not as if somebody puts out the facts. Here are the facts. God loved the world, and God loved the world he created, and he sent his son after we fell into sin so that he could die on the cross and we would be forgiven of our sins. And now those are the facts. Now if you choose to believe those, you're saved. And that's the way a lot of Christians think of it. They've laid out the facts, and now it's up to you to choose to believe it or not to believe it. And that's simply not how it works. David says, you made me trust in you at my mother's breast. Okay? What's going on, you know, at that early age with David? Well, he's clearly nursing at his mother's breast, and she's probably speaking the word of God to him, the Torah, singing psalms. It's the power of the word. It is the message of the cross that has the power of God into salvation. The word of God is no ordinary word. This is not just like any book of facts, the scriptures. It is a living and active, a two-edged sword that can penetrate the heart. Jesus calls it over and over the seed. That word in the Greek is the sperma, the sperm of God. You know, and it penetrates our heart and it creates life, new life. There's a reason why he calls it born again, because that's exactly what it is. We don't choose it. God makes it happen through his word. And we trust that his word is going to do what it's supposed to do. And so in the sacrament of holy baptism, we introduce this child, perhaps introduce the child, to the word of God, which is living and active and is going to bring this child to new life. And we may not be introducing the child to the Word at all. Maybe they have, parents like me who were, while Seth and Josh were in Kimberly's belly, I was reading the scriptures to them. I think they came out saved. I really believe that. Because of the power of the Word of God. Okay? And we trust that the Word of God creates faith. So we can believe at any age. David said God made him trust in Yahweh while he was at his mother's breast. John the Baptist, okay, was born, filled with the Spirit. He leapt in his mother's womb when he came into contact with Jesus. Faith is not a matter of age. And so we think it rather odd and even sad that somebody would keep their child from baptism until a certain age, okay, because they think that they have to choose it for themselves. We have some early writings of the church fathers where they're talking about baptism, and they compared baptism, and we continue to. Across denominations, we make this distinction that baptism is the New Testament equivalent to circumcision, as circumcision was the sign for belonging to the Old Testament covenant. Baptism is the sign that you belong to the New Testament covenant with God. And so these church fathers were talking about this, and one asked them, should we then baptize at 8 days of age? Because that's when they used to do circumcisions, okay? And still do, as Jewish people do, on the eighth day. And the answer was, there's no reason to wait so long. No reason to wait so long. And this is in the second century that we have these letters. So the ancient historical churches always believed in baptizing early, but it's not just because it's cute, okay? It's because we believe in the power of the Word to get salvation accomplished. Now, here's the thing, though. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. Okay? And you wouldn't bring a child into new life and birth a new child and then just never feed it, right? It would starve to death. And it's the same way with those who bring their children in to be baptized, but they never see the church again. And they don't go home and read their Bibles. They don't tell their children the stories, in the Bible. They're spiritually starved. And yes, as Lutherans, we believe, because we understand that the scriptures are telling us that faith can die. Jesus tells it plainly in a parable in Matthew chapter 13, where he says, the casting of the seed, the sperma, and some of it lands under the shrubs, and while it sprouts and grows, and faith begins to grow, eventually, because it's under the shrubs, which represent the world, the world's cares and concerns eventually snuff it out and strangle it. Faith can die because we give in to the cares of the world, you see. Our faith has to be renewed and strengthened. Just like you have to eat every day, okay? You have to have spiritual food. And Jesus, of course, points to his body and blood and says, my body is true spiritual food and my blood is true spiritual drink. And we understand that Holy Communion is nothing more than the Word of God, added to these physical elements of bread and wine, We eat and we drink the word and we are strengthened in our faith because we understand that it's God coming into us. Really and truly God strengthening us in our faith. And so as we come to Holy Communion, as we come to church, as we go to Bible study, as we talk about Christ with our friends, all of these things are strengthening us and building us up in the faith. Now, you know, there is no rock solid, that one verse, that smoking gun of a verse that proves that they baptized infants in New Testament times. It's not there. There's not one verse that says, and little Simeon was baptized when he was just 3 days old. It doesn't say it. There's no place in Scripture that says that. But we have a lot of places where it says, and whole households were baptized. Whole households. Jesus tells us to go forth and baptize all nations. Okay? Never does he say, baptize all nations, except for the little babies. Leave them out. Okay? He doesn't say, whole households were baptized, except for the little guys. And so the idea that we would hold anybody back, from being baptized because of their age is absolutely foreign to us as Lutherans because of how we understand salvation to occur. It occurs through the power of the word, not through any choice that we make. In fact, what we would say is this. In baptism, God creates a new nature within us, a new nature which is a perfect nature that cannot sin. It is a saintly nature. Our old nature, which we are born with, is sinful. And all it can choose is itself, always. That's why Luther says, the only thing that my nature ever chooses is between sins. That's the only free will I have, is to freely choose between sins. It is only in my new nature, that which is created through the power of the Word of God, that I ever choose God, that I ever truly love, that I ever, the way we talked about in that very first song, love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. It's only in that new nature that I'm capable of doing that. I cannot do it in my old nature. And I live in this world of dueling natures, okay? We call it saint and sinner. For my whole life, I will never be without sin. But as long as I'm constantly coming to church and renewing my spirit through the Word of God, I'll never be without that saint either. And then when I die, like the Scripture says, we just read it, Paul says that when one dies, one is what? Who remembers? When one dies, he is free from sin. And what's left is my new nature in Christ Jesus. This is what goes on to be with the Lord and awaits the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Okay? So God frees me in death. I don't even have to worry about death because it's freeing. I'm finally away from my sin. Well, there's no smoking gun in regard to, infant baptism. But we have lots of reasons why, okay, and lots of scripture to back up the fact that this is the way it has always been, okay? It's only really this idea that we have the will to choose. I can make my life the way I want to make it. This is the idea that has crept into our theology and made it so that we then tell people, no, you have to wait until you're old enough to be able to choose. Okay? There was one of my favorite arguments for, you know, infant baptism is this, and I kind of go a weird way around it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is arguing for the resurrection, okay? There are people who are thinking that, there's not going to be a resurrection on the last day, that we're going to stay in, you know, kind of spiritual bodies. We're never going to have these glorified bodies in the resurrection. And he says, if there's no resurrection, then why do you baptize for the dead? Okay? Now, what's he saying there? If you don't believe that there's a resurrection, why are you baptizing, you know, for these dead people that have died? What they were doing was saying, oh, we believe in the message that you brought us. You know, thanks be to God that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But Uncle Joey, he was dead before you got, he never heard of this. You know, he never got to hear the word. So can you baptize me in Uncle Joey's place? Well, he doesn't have anything negative to say about this. We don't teach this, okay, as a practice, as Christians. But Paul is not arguing that. He's saying, because he's arguing the resurrection, he says, you know, if there's no resurrection, then why are you getting baptized for the dead? Okay, but here's my point. If you're baptizing yourself for dead Uncle Joey, okay, you don't think they're going to baptize little Simeon over here? Right? Okay? We're baptizing for the dead, but no, wait. Well, if you were dead, little guy, we'd baptize for you, but you haven't, you know, you're too old while you're alive. I mean, you're not old enough while you're alive. You see, it doesn't make sense. They would have been baptizing everybody, okay? And I wish we had that smoking gun, but we don't, okay? Where little Simeon is told, you know, he's baptized at a month old right there in the scriptures. But really, that's not about it, because then we would just turn it about into age, and the theology would still be off, you see. It's really the reason why we baptize people. Understanding that it's the power of the Word of God that makes the difference. And what happens when we baptize? When we're baptized, what happens? You've heard it a million times before if you come to church, that we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are baptized into his death and into his resurrection so that we experience the death of sin and the resurrection unto life everlasting. So we are born again. We're made new through baptism. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. And that is exactly right. Once again, you would never say, we're not going to baptize you into Christ Jesus. You need to wait until you get old enough to decide for it in yourself. The point is that this is the way God has established for us to bring the world to Christianity. By doing what? By baptizing and making disciples. By baptizing people, telling them about Jesus, and bring the world to Christ, okay? They may let their faith die by never going to church again. They may turn, you know, completely around and choose not to believe in Jesus and defy him. But God has told us to go out and to baptize, to make disciples, to grow, to baptize them and grow them in the faith. And this is what we intend to do. And when people are baptized, they are brought into relationship with Christ. Deeper than that, they become one with Christ Jesus. You just let that sit on your brain for a second. That you become one with Christ Jesus when you're baptized. That's a reality. There's nothing symbolic about that. It's a reality that you become one with God in your baptism. Now, you don't become God, you don't become Jesus Christ, but you become one with him. Here, I know you understand the principle. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but how many gods do we have? One God, three persons. You will always be who you are. You'll always be Amy. You'll always be Kimberly. You'll always be Josh. I'll always be Michael. But we are all one with Christ Jesus. I am one with Christ, but I'm still Michael. And I will always be Michael. So we are made one with Christ Jesus in our baptism. But in another real way, baptism also makes us one with one another. Because all who are baptized into Christ Jesus are made one with Jesus, then I'm also made one with you. Now, regardless of how far you tried to sit apart from one another today, you are joined inseparably by Jesus Christ if you've been baptized into Christ Jesus. And I wish that we would be more comfortable with that, you know, and that we didn't scatter the way we do, and understand that we are indeed are brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only that, we are one. We are one church. We are one body of Christ. We're on this earth to be Christ's presence on this earth. We are his body. We are the temple. We are where people meet God. And he's done that all in baptism. We cannot let baptism become this, you know, this little novelty, you know, that we, you know, we bring our babies to, and then that's it, thinking, you know, it's just a great opportunity for pictures. But we have to understand the depth of what's really happening here. We are becoming one with God. We are becoming one with one another. It is my prayer that every one of you really kind of begin to understand the depth of what our worship is all about. That when we hear the word, that God uses that word is no, it's not like any other word. It is alive, it's living, it's active, and it's there to transform you. And if you've already been transformed, then it's there to strengthen you. And that word is present in the Lord's Supper to strengthen you in your faith. And so that every time you come here, if you would actually do what you're encouraged to do, which is to examine yourself, examine your life, and you see how you failed, God's not after you to make you feel ashamed. He's after you to let the light shine upon your life so that you realize you need him. And you need his forgiveness. And you need his life. And you need his strength. And you need the faith that his word brings. And so you expose yourself to his law. And you examine your life. And you find yourself, you know, short of his glory, and you say, God, I need you, and you come and you receive God into yourself, and he strengthens you, and he prepares you for another week out into a cruel world that does not believe in Jesus, and it lies to you constantly, telling you that you're nothing, that you're not worth anything, that you don't matter in this world, and you scrape through it until you get back into church and you hear the truth that you matter so much to God, the creator of the universe, that he gave up his son for you. And that you do matter in this world. That's what this is all about. That we hear the truth of what the creator of the universe thinks of us. That he would give his only son, that his only son would be forsaken by the Father so that you and I would never have to be forsaken. This is the message of the cross. And it's the message that has the power to give us new life. And it's the message that we hear each time we come in here. And it's the message that we eat and we drink when we take Holy Communion. We become one with God. That's what communion's all about. Once again, the Word coming into us, we become one with God. In baptism, we become one with God. And we become one with each other. When you come up here, we don't come up to the altar in this service. But when you come here and you receive the body and the blood of Jesus, you're receiving God. And you are communing with not just the people here, but with every saint that went before. You're becoming one with them as well. And now I'm going to get to the point where we talk about Jesus' baptism, because it's important too. In the Old Testament, when they were bringing up a new high priest, he first had to be washed. Then they would anoint him with oil, and then they would speak the word of God over him. And then you would have your new high priest. And you look at the baptism of Jesus and what happened to him. Well, he was washed through baptism. Then he was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit, okay? And they used oil in the Old Testament days to represent the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus was anointed by the real thing. And then, where they spoke the word of God over him, what happened to Jesus? God really spoke over him, okay? The real thing, okay? So, in Jesus' baptism, as he is being declared the high priest, he's not only the high priest, but he's also the sacrifice. He is becoming one with us. He's becoming one with his people. God is choosing to become one with his people. And in doing so, he is taking on all of our burdens, all of our iniquities, all of our trespasses, all of our sins, because he's going to take those to the cross and into death with him. Everybody's sin is going to die through Jesus Christ. And what did Paul say about one who dies? He's free from sin. And everybody who is in Christ Jesus dies a death in their baptism with Jesus. And I'm dead to sin because I've been baptized. And it's all because Jesus became me. Jesus became you. Jesus became everyone. He took on all sin. He identifies with every person. And so not only am I one with God, but he is one with me. And he is one with you, and we are one with each other. Because I was baptized, because you were baptized, and because Jesus was baptized. And this is why he tells John, and it's not in this particular text, but John is baffled as to why in the world Jesus is being baptized. And he tells him so that all righteousness must be fulfilled. We are made righteous through Jesus' baptism. I heard another Lutheran pastor one time explain it like this, and I had never heard it put this way, and it's made it so simple. He was actually giving a children's message. And he said, he was trying to explain Jesus' baptism. And he says, when we're baptized, think of it like this. All the water, just washes our sin away and it goes into the water. And he goes, when Jesus was baptized, it was just the opposite. All of that sinful water was poured on Jesus and he absorbed all of our sin. And that's kind of what his baptism is all about. His people are, he is becoming his people. And so that everything he does now becomes, you know, how we live vicariously through Christ. What did he do immediately following his baptism? He went out into the desert, okay, to be tempted. You understand how his baptism relates to the people of God. Moses, the exit out of Egypt through the Red Sea, the Bible refers to that as their baptism. Where did they go after they crossed through the Red Sea in their baptism? Into the desert to be tempted. Okay? Jesus baptized. That's his Red Sea moment. Then out into the desert to be tempted. Okay? But where the people failed, where we failed, Jesus is perfect. And he takes that perfection to the cross, and that's where that great exchange takes place. His perfection for our sin, all because you were baptized and he was baptized. Hear the word today and believe. Amen. We continue with our worship.